Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Happy New Year, Cascade. And it is good to be with you and to greet you in the name of our Father and of the Son, our sweet Holy Spirit. I am grateful to be with you today and to have the opportunity to stand in your presence. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are in this moment. Thank you, Lord, that you are in this place. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us. Speak, Lord, because we are listening. Cause us to know what is in your mind and what is on your heart. Cause us to hear you. And Lord, be glorified in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I wanted to talk to you briefly, move this over a little bit, about a New Year conversion. A New Year conversion. We just got through with New Year's celebrations, and we are privileged to arrive at this first Sunday of 2018. And I like towards the end of the year, everybody is kind of reflecting back, even like the media sources are all going over what was the biggest stories of 2017, and every show is highlighting those stories. And in the city where I grew up in Philadelphia, I used to love that on New Year's Eve, beginning in the morning, they would do the countdown of all the biggest songs of the year, starting in the morning, and they'd count down the top song for every song of that whole year. And around the evening, you'd end up with the number one song of the year. And so everyone is kind of reflecting and celebrating. We have this old song from England, which I've never understood how it ended up, that everybody in America is singing this old Lang Syne song, which I found out means for old time's sake. And so we get together and we think about our friends and our family members, and we have some cups of kindness apparently, and we are just celebrating Auld Lang Syne and all that has come before. And it is common for us individually and sometimes collectively as well to say, you know, what exactly did I do this year? You know, and to think back about the experiences that we've had, the places that we've been, and the people we've seen, the things that we've done, and maybe even some of the conversations we've had. At the end of this past year, I heard a lot of people saying, I am glad 2017 is over. For a lot of people, it seemed that this previous year had been particularly challenging, both individually, people had a lot of things that went on in their individual lives, and then definitely collectively for us as a country. A lot of things happened, a lot of things that were challenging for us, and some things that were painful, and some things that were surprising, as we just talked about. But for many people, I heard them saying, boy, I'm just glad this year is over and that we get to start again and to go into something new. sometimes I wonder, do we also think about perhaps the things that, not just the things we did, but the things that were left undone? The things that were left unsaid. The places perhaps to which we have been sent but did not go. The times that we gave in to unbelief. The psalmist said that God has been mercifully kind toward us, and that he remains true. Sometimes at the end of the year, we're reflecting on those things we did not do. And we remember the goodness of God in spite of it. So what do we do then? We make resolutions, right? We say next year is going to be better. Next year, I'm going to eat better. Next year, we're going to work out more. Right? I'm not going to ask people to raise hands for how many people have made those resolutions and maybe already broken those. How many people, you know, there are people who say, next year, I'm going to save more money, right? Some people say, next year, I'm going to start saving money, right? And some people, I'm not going to mention names, maybe millennials, say, I'm going to start making money. Right? I'm going to be nicer in 2018. I'm going to let bygones be bygones. And, you know, we resolve to change, to make changes in our lives. And change is a kind of conversion, right? We go and we ask, can you give me change for a dollar? We're saying, can you convert this paper bill into coins? If you are one who travels internationally, it's very common, of course, you go into another country. We have to go and convert our money into the money of that particular country. Conversion. To convert, it actually means to alter the physical or the chemical nature or properties of something. It means to change from one form to another, or one function to another. Some of us have converted spaces, attics, into bedrooms, or in our house, garages, into man caves. Some of us alter ourselves or things around us for more effective use, which is also the definition. We want to change, to alter our behavior and our habits in order to be more effective at something. Well, in this new year, Jesus has some things to say about conversion. In Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4, we see that at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, when I read that, I find that interesting because most of the time, in my experience in the churches that I grew up in and churches that I visited, we spend time talking about conversion just as this coming to salvation, this coming to faith in Jesus. But here, Jesus is talking to
not the multitude, not even the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious leaders, not the Roman soldiers or government officials. He is talking to the disciples. He's talking to the people who have already been following him. The people who have already left other lives and people behind and made a commitment to come after him. To those people, he has said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not see the kingdom of God. John tells us there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. Now we talk about and we hear about this conversion of Nicodemus as a point of salvation for him. And maybe perhaps that's exactly what it is. But Nicodemus came to him saying, we know that you are a teacher come from God. We know that nobody can do the miracles you do except God be with him. We know this. And yet Jesus says to him, you must be born again, or you can't see the kingdom. I think that the Spirit, that God talks to us about a conversion of the Spirit. Not a one and done, though, like we often think about it. Like, oh, I've been converted. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And now I'm all good. Now we go on with our lives. But I think rather like the disciples that, as little children, this happens throughout the course of our lives. That salvation, that conversion happens for us again and again. Luke 22, 28 to 32, Jesus says to the disciples, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then in the next verse, the next breath, the next sentence, he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. In the King James Version, it says, when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. Simon Peter, he's talking to Simon, the one who, when he said, who do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was 13 chapters earlier than this, when he says, when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. When you are changed, Simon. I thought it's just a little bit troubling that he says to him, Satan has desired to sift you. And it sounds like he's saying, I'm going to let him do that. Because then afterwards, when you come back to me, strengthen your brothers. Maybe there's a process and there's a point, a purpose in these conversions. Truly, it doesn't happen all at once. The prodigal son left, decided, I want to have my inheritance now. I've had enough of this life. Let me go out and experience things for myself and on my own, and walked away from the father. But the scripture says, when he came to himself, another translation says, when he came to his senses, he said, I will arise and go back. When you are converted, when you come back around to truth. For that is like a conversion. Resolutions are a returning to ourselves. A returning to ourselves. A returning to him. To what we know to be true. A returning to the truth, capital T. It's not that we're having new discoveries, right? We didn't just, you know what? Good food might actually help me. It's not like we just came to that. Like, wow, you know, there's this thing called exercise. And apparently if you do that, it does something good for your body. Like we didn't just hear that for the first time. We didn't just discover that there might be some good thing in putting aside a little money or cutting down and not drinking 7 cups of coffee a day, which according to my daughter will produce hallucinations, right? We didn't just discover that maybe that was a bad idea. We remember. I have a friend who often says, some people just need a memory, right? It's not that you're going to get something new. We just need to remember what we've already learned, what we've already known. Resolution is a returning to ourselves, to what God has already said to us, what we've already known to be true. It's a remembrance. It's a remembrance even that we've made similar commitments before. But what happens? How do we get there back on December 31st at this point? Some of the things we're resolving for 2018, we've resolved in January 2017, 16, 13. But over time, we move away. Over time, an activity, we forget what we know is true. In the middle of the circumstances of our lives, the things that came up that we didn't plan for, the things that we're constantly being exposed to as new and better ideas, we forget, and we go on, trail off down other roads. We make wrong choices. We take wrong turns. We choose to ignore the Holy Spirit GPS that says, when possible, make a U-turn. And we just keep going in the wrong direction. We are chasing elusive rabbits and running after the mirage, desperately hoping that it's true, even though everything in us says it's not. Simply, we are listening to our flesh. We are believing the world. We are giving in to the devil. Whatever we want to call it, we have been deceived. We have been misled. We have been disobedient. We have chosen to go our own way. And we arrive then at December 31st, after catching glimpses in the mirror or checking out our bank statements or having our blood pressure checked or our cholesterol levels. And we remember what we've already known to be true. And we resolve. We reflect. We are led back once again to change, to conversion. It's like we spiral out and we come back around, back to that point of truth, but maybe perhaps a step higher than where we were before, a level closer. It's like that elusive Jacob's ladder that every round goes higher and higher. It's not that we're necessarily going in circles, coming back to the same point. Maybe we circled out and we come back a little bit higher. And we do that again and again. Perhaps Christian conversion is not merely a one-time experience, but rather an ongoing process through which we take on the mind, character, behavior, and lifestyle of the living Christ. In my own life, I had this example that came to mind is that I've been, good friends know that for years, I've been following a program called Eat Right for Your Type. And that is basically a way of eating that is based on your blood type. But how I got there is because for a few years before, I had been praying about health and looking at, I'm the youngest of four daughters my mother had, and my sisters are all much older than me, both 8 and then 19, 20 years almost older. I was one of those late surprise babies. But I was looking at, they give me the benefit of seeing many health conditions down the road. And I was like, Lord, how do I avoid some of the many challenges that I have seen my mother and my older sisters have? Are there things I can do in my life that will help me avoid some of those things? And I've been praying, Lord, I just need some better ways to eat. Lord, I want to feel better. I don't want to have pain. I don't want to be taking large amounts of medication and those different things. Lord, is there a better way that I can live and eat that will help to ensure longer health so that, Lord, I can be fully available to you and not hindered by the vessel that I live in. And in many ways and at various times, God had kept kind of leading me to this book, Eat Right for Your Type. And oh, that's interesting, and ignore and walk away. And finally, when another time that I was in prayer and they happened to be praying about this thing, I went out with my kids. They had some gift cards. We went to the bookstore, and here was this book right there. And many times before, I dismissed it. Oh, it's too expensive or whatever. This time, I had a gift card that was just enough to pay for this book. So I decided to go on and get it. And then I get home, and I read it. And I decide, what? I'm not doing this. And I close it, and I put it on the shelf. And about another year later, Again, I am praying, and the Spirit speaks to me clearly and says, I already told you what to do. Why you keep asking me? And I was like, God, are you talking about that book? Oh, man. And I went and I got it off the shelf and opened it, and I started reading it again. And I said, oh, how am I going to do this, God? Oh, this is all the stuff you're telling me to give up. This is stuff I really love. And he said, one day at a time. That's how you're going to do it. One day at a time. And I said, okay. But what I did was that I didn't take all of it, because it was a lot. It gives you this, like, here's the wonderful list of foods that are highly beneficial for you in every category. And here's the foods that are neutral, not going to do you any harm, not going to do you any good. And here's the foods, though, that are like poison to you. Stop eating them. So the list of the things that, and you know how we do, you don't celebrate about the list of, wow, look at all these wonderful things that I should eat. You look at, gosh, I'm going to give up this stuff. Okay, I can't give up it all at one time. I'm going to give up these, the two biggest things. And I did that for a while. And then later, I realized, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to give up this other thing now, too. And I do that for a while longer. And then after a little while, I think I'm going to give up this other thing too. And so little by little, round by round, I was getting closer and closer to what it was I was supposed to be doing. But here's the thing. The whole book, the whole thing was true from the beginning. All of it was the right thing to do. But I wasn't there yet to do it all at once. And because God is mercifully kind to me and gracious, he gave me some time to slowly, steadily move closer and closer to his divine will. Now, I am aware that every day that I'm not in full compliance, I am in partial disobedience. Because I say to my kids all the time, delayed obedience is disobedience. So when I tell you to come to me, I want you to come right now, not after you finish doing what it is you're supposed to do. I know that that is true. But I am moving closer and closer. And then when I thought I was fully implementing what I was supposed to be doing, there are still times every so often where I feel led to go back and glance through that book. And I every time discover, oh my goodness, I did not know I'm not supposed to be eating this. All this time, okay, can't eat that anymore. Or this rare, pleasant surprise of, oh, all this time I thought I couldn't eat that and I can. But I discover this when I go back to the book, when I review again what it was God said to me now over 5 years ago. We reread and we discover things missed or misunderstood or forgotten. So then I am a convert ever moving through conversion or being converted. So too in the spirit. Because if I have ceased to change and grow, I am in spiritual crisis. Let me say that again. If we have ceased to change and grow, we are in spiritual crisis. It's not like we get to this point where we're like, oh, you know, I'm good. I'm just going to coast out from here. No. When I take my children in for their annual checkups, the doctor usually prints out and reviews their growth chart. And they've done this since they were born, newborn babies, right? And I'm sure there's some moms in the room, maybe some dads who know this, right? They pull out this paper, and after they have taken their height and their weight, and there's this slope on it, right? This graph, and there's little X's that are plotting the points of their growth. This grid, right, that is showing where my children's height and weight stand in relation to previous years and in relation to other children their same age and gender. So the doctors look at that because that is a sign of health, right? Lines are drawn which help to connect and highlight their growth from year to year. I wonder if God were to print out our spiritual growth charts, would the lines drawn curve gently upward like my children's physical growth charts? Would they curve upwards, suggesting growth in overall health? Would the points plotted indicate where I was moving ever onward towards maturity in Christ? Or rather, have our lines leveled off, or worse, begun to slope dangerously downward towards spiritual death? God knows we won't get everything right away. Thank God for Jesus. But we've been given new life. And there should be signs of life. What are the signs of life? In the physical, breathing, eating, growing. Of reproduction. Breathing, eating, growing, those are signs of life and health. If a person is not doing those three things, they are in danger. If my child's physical chart suggests a lack of or a decline in physical growth, my doctor would begin asking me questions about nutrition and caloric intake. We would review food choices and amounts as well as activity levels and rest patterns. And she would likely make recommendations for change and schedule follow-up visits. It wouldn't be just like, oh, yeah, I see that your growth has gone down. Okay, well, see you next year. No, there would be intervention. The Bible is a guide to help us evaluate our present state of spiritual health for signs of growth or malnourishment and to suggest the diet and habits that can be formed or adjusted to bring about healthy change. Living things have breath, spirit. Ruach is a Hebrew word for spirit, and it means air in motion or breath. Living things, spiritually living people, have the breath of God in them, the spirit of God. We are very comfortable with our intellect and thinking about God from that very heady place. But many of us are more uncomfortable with thinking that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Signs of life is that the people of God have been indwelled with the Spirit of God. And his role is to point us and guide us to truth, leading us to repentance and conversion, equipping us then with the power to do it. That there is a power in us that is speaking and saying, you have missed the turn. Recalculating, when possible, make a U-turn. if we do not hear the Spirit of God, if we can just go on about our lives doing whatever we want in any direction at all times, and there is never an unction of the Holy Ghost, there is never a pang of conviction, we may be in spiritual crisis, because as believers, as followers of Jesus, the Spirit of God is alive in us and he speaks every day. He speaks every day. Sometimes we just don't hear him because of the noise in our lives. Living things have breath and living things have appetite. If you ask your children, if I ask my children, are you hungry? And it's time, and I know that it's time to eat. And they say, no, I'm not hungry. What is the question going to be? Right? Somebody's going to say, are you okay? Are you feeling all right? Immediately we think something is wrong, because healthy people want to eat. When is it that we usually don't want to eat? When we're stressed, right? We're nervous, when we're sick. But when we are at rest and when we are healthy and when we have normal activity levels, we want to nourish ourselves. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We should have a desire for the things of God, a desire to do better, a desire to change and make resolutions. A lack of desire is a warning sign. A lack of desire towards righteousness. We're not going to have it all together today, but we should want to be getting closer to him. We should want to be lining up closer to the plan that he has for our lives. It is a sign of spiritual health to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we have the promise of God that we will be filled. A loss of appetite is dangerous, because when you stop eating, you die. So living things breathe, living things have appetite, and living things grow. Jesus approached a fig tree with expectation and found nothing but leaves, and he cursed the fig tree. He expected to find fruit. Jesus gave up everything for us that we might have a relationship with the Father. And that relationship will produce fruit. When there are signs of health, there is fruit production. There is good things being produced in our lives for us and for other people and for the glory of God. Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But grow in grace, he said, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. Wanting to know him more, to see him more clearly, to discern his voice, to know his will, grow in the knowledge of God, grow in the grace of God, the ability to do what I ought, the ability to obey, to do what he asks or commands. When I pray for my children, I don't just pray, oh God, keep them safe, watch over them, bless them, have a good day, may people be nice to them. All those things are great. But I pray, Lord, I pray you give them a hunger and a thirst for your word. I pray that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. I pray that they may be drawn closer to you by their spirit. I pray, Lord God, that they might be more and more like you. And I pray that they not be deceived by the enemy, Lord God. I pray any relationship, anything that they are connected to that will do them harm or draw them away from you, that you cut it off in the name of Jesus. I pray that they grow in the spirit, man, to be more like Christ. God has been mercifully kind. And everything he is and said is true. So how shall we then live this year? How shall we live? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have the promise of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for that desire in us to change, because we know that is signs of life in us. Oh God, this year, perfect us a little bit more. Draw us closer to you and what you would have us to be in this world. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us alone to fend for ourselves, to figure things out, but you have come and you live within us, and you have given us your word and each other. And for this we say glory, thank you, amen. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And may your conversion lead others to repentance.